Chapter 7. As steady as you, and that you are steady I see from your diligence here. I think Miss Swankert very clever, Stephen observed. Yes, she is. Certainly, she is, said Papa, turning his voice as much as possible to the neutral tone of disinterested criticism. Now, Smith, I'll tell you something. But she mustn't know it for the world, not for the world, mind, for she insists upon keeping it a dead secret. Why, she writes my sermons for me often, and a very good job she makes of them. She can do anything. She can do that. The little rascal has the very trick of the trade. But, mind you, Smith, not a word about it to her, not a single word. Not a word, said Smith. Look there, said Mr. Swankert. What do you think of my roofing? He pointed with his walking stick at the chancel roof. Did you do that, sir? Yes, I worked in shirt sleeves all the time, that was going on. I pulled down the old rafters, fixed the new ones, put on the battens, slated the roof, all with my own hands, Worm being my assistant. We worked like slaves, didn't we, Worm? Sure, we did. Harder than some here and there, said William Worm, cropping up from somewhere. Like slaves, And weren't he foaming mad, sir, when the nails wouldn't go straight? Mighty I. There, tisn't so bad to cuss and keep it in, as to cuss and let it out, is it, sir? Well, why? Because you, sir, when ye were a-putting on the roof, only used to cuss in your mind, which is, I suppose, no harm at all. I don't think you know what goes on in my mind, Worm. Oh, don't I, sir, Maybe I'm but a poor wambling thing, sir, and can't read much, but I can spell as well as some here and there. Don't ye mind, sir, that blusterous night when ye asked me to hold the candle to ye in your workshop, when you were making a new chair for the chancel? Yes, what of that? I stood with the candle, and you said you liked company, if 'twas only a dog or cat maning me, and the chair wouldn't do no-ho. I remember. No, the chair wouldn't do no-ho. I was very well to look at, but, Lord. Worm, how often have I corrected you for your reverent speaking? I was very well to look at, but you couldn't sit in the chair no-ho. 'Twas all a twist why the chair, like the letter Z, directly you sat down upon the chair. Ed up, Worm, says you, when you see the chair go all a sway why me. Up you took the chair, and flung end like fire and brimstone to t'other end of your shop all in a passion. Am the chair, says one. Ust what I was thinking, says you, sir. Could see it in your face, sir, says I, and I hope you and God will forgive me for saying what you wouldn't. To save your life you couldn't help laughing, sir, at a poor wambler reading your thoughts so plain. Eh, I'm as wise as one here and there. I thought you had better have a practical man to go over the church and tower with you, Mr. Swankert said to Stephen the following morning, so I got Lord Luxellian's permission to send for a man when you came. I told him to be there at 10 o'clock. He's a very intelligent man, and he will tell you all you want to know about the state of the walls. His name is John Smith. Elfride did not like to be seen again at the church with Stephen. I will watch here for your appearance at the top of the tower, she said laughingly. I shall see your figure against the sky, and when I am up there I'll wave my handkerchief to you, Miss Swankert, said Stephen. In 12 minutes from this present moment, he added, looking at his watch, I'll be at the summit and look out for you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she went round to the corner of the shrubbery, whence she could watch him down the slope leading to the foot of the hill on which the church stood. There she saw waiting for him a white spot, a mason in his working clothes. Stephen met this man and stopped. To her surprise, instead of their moving on to the churchyard, they both leisurely sat down upon a stone close by their meeting place, and remained as if in deep conversation. Elfride looked at the time. 9 of the 12 minutes had passed, and Stephen showed no signs of moving. More minutes passed, she grew cold with waiting, and shivered. It was not till the end of a quarter of an hour that they began to slowly wend up the hill at a snail's pace. Rude and unmannerly. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said to herself, coloring with pique. Anybody would think he was in love with that horrid mason instead of with apostrophe. The sentence remained unspoken, though not unthought. She returned to the porch. Is the man you sent for a lazy, sit still, do nothing kind of man? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she inquired of her father. No, apostrophe, he said surprised. Quite the reverse. He is Lord Luxellian's master mason, John Smith. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, apostrophe, said Elfride indifferently, and returned towards her bleak station, and waited and shivered again. It was a trifle, after all, a childish thing looking out from a tower and waving a handkerchief. But her new friend had promised, and why should he tease her so? The effect of a blow is as proportionate to the texture of the object struck as to its own momentum, and as he had such a superlative capacity for being wounded, that little hit struck her hard. It was not till the end of half an hour that two figures were seen above the parapet of the dreary old pile, motionless as bitterns on a ruined mosque. Even then Stephen was not true enough to perform what he was so courteous to promise, and he vanished without making a sign. He returned at midday. Elfride looked vexed when unconscious that his eyes were upon her, when conscious, severe. However, her attitude of coldness had long outlived the coldness itself, and she could no longer utter feigned words of indifference. Ah, you weren't kind to keep me waiting in the cold, and break your promise, apostrophe, she said at last reproachfully, in tones too low for her father's powers of hearing. Forgive, forgive me, apostrophe, apostrophe, said Stephen with dismay. I had forgotten, quite forgotten. Something prevented my remembering. Apostrophe, any further explanation? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Capricious, pouting. He was silent for a few minutes, and looked askance. None, apostrophe, he said, with the accent of one who concealed a sin. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.